You're here this morning. You know that we filled out a sheet of paper talking about the definition of Christianity. And on this paper, you were asked to write down your description of what a Christian really is. And when we finished, I told you that we had one more to talk about, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. I'd like for us to look over our list before we do that. If you have your sheet of paper with you, please get it out, and let's look over some of the things that we talked about this morning. And these are all correct answers, by the way, and would do very well to be on your list to describe Christianity. We talked about being loving. We talked about being humble and being steadfast. We talked about being contented and about being joyous as a child of God. We talked about being faithful, being fruitful, being dedicated, being happy, and being obedient. And I may not have said them in the order that you have them written down, but these are the ones that we talked about this morning. And no doubt, these are some very important qualities for us to have to be a child of God. And a child of God must have these attributes in his or her life in order to be a successful Christian. But I want us to look at one other word that was on my list. And actually, this was what the morning sermon was to be about. And when I made my change of how I was going to attack this, I want to talk about this word tonight. I told you this morning that without this word, the rest of them cannot be achieved. You have to have one other thing in your life for all of the others to work. And that word is determination. You know, if you're going to do anything in life, you have to put it into your mind, I am going to do this. No one ever passes a test going in thinking I'm going to fail. No one ever builds a house thinking, well, I don't have the knowledge and the understanding to do it. We have to put into our mind that we are capable of doing that which we are having a desire to do. Now, I know for a fact that everyone in here has a desire to live the Christian life. Else you wouldn't be here tonight. You wouldn't have been here this morning. But yet there has to be an element of determination that will drive you to this end. There has to be something that is going to give you that push that will help you to reach the goal that you want so desperately in life. And you know, we may not think about this all the time, but the most desperate hope that we have is the hope of heaven. And for different reasons. I would hope that our greatest desire is to be with God and to be with the Son in heaven and to be able to reunite with our friends and loved ones who have gone on before us. But then there are those who strive for heaven for another reason, and that's simply not to have to experience the other. And of course, that being hell. So there are different reasons why we are so determined to reach this goal of heaven. I do hope that you have that determination in your heart to reach the goal of heaven. You know, when we think about determined people, maybe a lot of folks come to mind. Someone you know, someone from history may come to your mind as someone who you realize that was a very determined person to achieve what they wanted in life. You know, when I think about Christianity and I think about someone who was determined as a Christian or a determined man, I think about the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul was one determined person. You can say what you want to about him, but he was one determined man on both sides of his conversion to Christianity. He was a determined man prior to becoming a Christian, and his determination at that point in time was to put an end to Christianity. We read this in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It says here that Paul, or Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was determined to put an end to Christianity. Because in his mind, Christianity threatened his religion, which was Judaism. And he even admitted this to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. He knew what his life had been all about. And he said, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. He said, I did all of these things. I went against Christ as much as I possibly could. And he was determined to bring an end to Christianity. But then we see his conversion later on in the book of Acts chapter 9. And we learn that even after his conversion, he was also a determined man, which is probably one of the reasons that God chose him for his job as an apostle of Christ, was because of his determination. Paul reminds the brethren at Ephesus of his dedication and determination in Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 18. He says, you know that from the first day that I came into Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So he, at this time, was also a very determined man. Now we can look at the example of the Apostle Paul and other people of that day and come to a conclusion that we as well need to possess this same determination and put this characteristic in our lives. If we want to be successful as children of God, we must become determined people. You know, as Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3, verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and without blemish. Well, let's look at this word determination, and let's see if we can define it. The word determination, as found in the Webster's Dictionary, means to be decided about something, to be resolved, to be resolute. You know, I like this word resolute because I think it's a word that will describe a Christian. We are resolute in our determination to live for God. It comes from the Greek word krino, which means to be of an opinion. It means to approve, to esteem, to produce an opinion concerning right or wrong. So we use this word to help us push a little harder, push a little farther in living the Christian life. We have many examples in the Bible of people who were determined in one way or the other. Let me suggest a couple to you. The first one was Joseph. We find Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. He is now being tempted by Potiphar to commit the sin of adultery with her. He knows it is against God's law. He knows it really is against a lot of law, different laws of the land, to do this terrible thing. And he was able to stay away from it because he was determined not to get involved in this situation. He said, how can I commit this great sin and sin against God? He knew how much God loved him, and he knew how much he loved God. And he was determined not to allow this act to take place in his life. I think about Daniel. Daniel, when King Darius signed the decree that no one could call upon any god for the next period of time, Daniel defied that command, and he was determined to pray to his God. We read this in Daniel chapter 6, In verse 10, it says, he went home, he went into his upper room, he opened his windows toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since the early days. He was determined not to let man's law get in the way of God's law. Oh, and how many times today have we seen man's law get in the way of God's law? How many times have we seen man changing man's law for their own good purpose and casting God's law aside? But yet we find that Daniel was determined. What about Nehemiah? When time came to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, in Nehemiah chapter 2, beginning verse 3, it says, if it pleases the king, your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you may send me to Judah to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. He was determined to put Jerusalem back where it was previously, to rebuild the walls and set Israel's worship in motion correctly once again. These are but just three examples of those who were determined to do the right thing. And my friends, we must have that same determination to do the right thing. Unfortunately, many people are not determined to do the right thing. They are determined to do the wrong thing. You know, there are several things that fall into this category in the church and out of the church as well. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. We have those in the church today, outside of the church today, who are determined to do as they please, who are determined to have their own way. You know, I think of one episode that took place years ago, and it's quite comical. Most of you know that I'm from a little town in Alabama called Killen, and I was a member at the Killen Church of Christ. Time came back in the early 70s, we were going to build a new facility. And I think I have showed you a picture of it on the screen, a very, very beautiful facility that they built there indeed. And time come to pick out colors for the auditorium, the cushion colors, the carpet colors, and things of this nature. And the man who was the minister there, which happened to be the man that married Pat and I, but happened to be the man that baptized me into Christ, he had a hang-up about the color brown. Everything had to be brown. And I don't know why there wasn't anything in his house that was brown. He didn't drive a brown car. I don't remember seeing him in a brown suit. But he had a hang-up about the color brown. And so when they had their meeting, and he was in the meeting, and they were discussing what color they wanted their cushions to be on their pews and what color they wanted their carpet to be. And he says, "Well, folks, I think we need to make it brown." And the elder said, "No, we don't want a brown carpet in our auditorium, and we don't want brown cushions on our pews." Well, he proceeded to preach them a sermon as to why they needed brown in the auditorium. Well, it didn't prevail. They said, "No, we really don't want brown." So the decision was made that we're going to call, and they knew who they wanted to use, for the carpet man and the cushion man to come and to give them samples of the colors that they could choose from. And he was given the direction to call these people to bring the samples out for everyone to look at. Well, he did. He called them up and he says, "Bring us the samples of all your shades of brown." And they did. And the elders are looking at all this, and they're thinking, "Wait a minute, there's got to be more colors than this." Because it was light brown, medium brown, dark brown. Oh, every kind of brown you can think of was there. And they said, is this all that you have?" And the guy said, "Oh, no." He said, "We have every color in the rainbow. I was told to bring brown." Oh, did he get in trouble over that one. Actually, it turned out to be burgundy. They wound up with burgundy carpet and burgundy seats. But, you know, he was determined to get brown in that auditorium. And it didn't work for him. But, you know, even within the church, we have some pretty determined people, don't we? People who expect things to be one way, and it's got to be my way, and if it's not my way, I'll have nothing to do with it. And we have people who act that way, don't we? But, you know, some people are determined to do as they please, regardless of what anyone else or what else the law of God says. We have those that are determined to do evil. Some people are just going to follow worldly ways, even after obeying the gospel. They're going to go back to what they did, how they lived, what they loved in life. They can't let sin go. Unfortunately for them, they will have to answer for that in Judgment Day. Some are determined to have preeminence. And that's about the same thing, isn't it? Like having your way. You know, we read in John, 3 John verse 9, a man by the name of Diotrephes who loved to have preeminence. In other words, he loved to be the one that you had to come to and ask a question. He loved to be the one to say yes or no. He loved to be the one to make the decision for you whether you should do something or whether you should not. He liked to have control. He was a control freak. We know people who are that way, don't we? We know control freaks. They think, "I've just got to have it this way and this is the way it has to be." And that's very damaging. That's very damaging to life when you have to deal with someone like that. And it's very damaging to the church. And then we have those who are determined to make nothing out of God's worship than tradition. Now I'm speaking, of course, of the scribes and Pharisees. They were more concerned about what they had turned religion into than what God had said religion is. You know, they questioned Jesus on one occasion in Matthew 15, verse 3, of a matter that really didn't matter. And he responded to them by saying, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your traditions." And so many times today, my friends, we find people following traditions and not so much worry about God's law. And we allow traditions of man to take a church and literally rip it apart. Some of you may be old enough to remember the days when they put a white sheet on the communion. Y'all remember those days when you put a white sheet on the communion table? Did anybody know the real reason for that? It was to keep off the flies. That was the only reason for it. But you'd be surprised how many pig-headed brethren in the church would say, "Oh no, we can't take off that sheet. That's a holy sheet. That sheet means something. It's something that we've always done." Oh, I just love it when people tell me that. "Well, we ain't never done anything different. That's the way we've always done it." Yeah, that's right. You know, that's the way you've always done it. But you won't find it in the book that says this is the way it has to be done. And we bind law where there is no law to bind. And that's what the scribes and Pharisees did. My friends, we must stand up for the truth. We must be determined to stand up for the truth. How do we do that? What is it that we can do to be determined? Well, first of all, we must be determined to know God's Word. You know, you're never going to understand anything unless you study it. You know, the first time you sat down in a classroom was probably first grade, and the teacher might ask you, what is 2 plus 2? "Well, I don't know. I've never studied that." And when they told me it was 4, I probably forgot it a few minutes later, and they had to tell me again. You don't remember things usually the first time and only time you ever see it. Now, we have people that can do that, but generally, you have to study to have a good understanding of things in life. You know, this is what the Hebrew writer tells us in Hebrews 2, verse 1. "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the spoken word through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" We must be sure that we understand that we are doing the right thing. We must be determined to know God's Word. You know, David said, God's Word is the lamp to our feet and a light to our way. Paul said it gives us understanding, Ephesians 3, verse 4. "By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." We need to understand that the Bible is the one that makes us approved to God. It is that guideline. It is that standard that we go by in life. It helps us to have that understanding. Paul said, "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth." We have to have that knowledge. And we must be determined to have that knowledge. We must be determined to grow as a Christian. You know, Peter, he said it twice. First time in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he said, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." And then in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." We must be determined to grow as a Christian. Because if we're not determined to grow, guess what we won't do? We won't grow. And that's why we can't have these other attributes that we talked about this morning. If we're not determined to put them into our lives, if we're not determined to have them a part of our lives, then we'll never do it. Because the determination has got to be there. We must be determined to love the truth and to stand up for the truth. Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, what is he saying here when he said this? That if we don't put on the armor of God, if we don't stand strong in the power of His might, we will not be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And if we are unable to stand against Him, He is going to overcome us and take us. And we need to know that. And we need to be determined in our lives to take that stand and to be strong in God so that we can resist the devil when he comes at us. Now, one other question. How do we build this determination? You know, determination is something that, it's like almost everything else in life, it has to be developed. You know, sometimes, and we all, some of us in this room may be guilty of this, I've been guilty of it in the past. When you fail to do something, you just want to put it aside, lay it down, and walk away from it. And you never touch it again, and you never try it again. It's when I was in college, and a lot of you know this, I made my spending money teaching music lessons. And I had some very brilliant students, and then I had some that could care less. And it didn't take me very long to figure out which one was which. The ones who would come in, and the first question I was asked is, have you been practicing? No. And that was usually the word I got. Well, I knew right then, this girl's never going to make it. Because she don't care about it. She's not going to do her work. There's no determination there. There's no desire to get better, to do better. And she never got better. And after about 2 months, she quit. The desire has to be there. And I'm not just talking about music or about a hobby or anything that we do that we enjoy doing. If you don't have determination to finish something that you start, you'll never finish it. You know, Jesus tells two stories about that, about a king that's going to war and a man that's going to build a house. But if he don't have enough to finish the job, what's he going to do? Is he going to get more stuff and finish the job, or is he just going to lay it down and quit? Can't afford to lay it down and quit. Not in this category of our religion. If we lay our religion down, if we lay our Christianity down, Satan has won. He's got our soul, and the sorry thing about that is he has our soul forever because we've given up. And we can't afford to give up. So how do we build? Well, we do the one thing that nobody here likes to do. We practice self-denial. We give up what we want for what God wants. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Jesus said this to his disciples, and he says it to us today. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life, will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, will find it. Let me break that verse down for you right quick. What this means is, verse 25, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. If you desire your worldly things, if you want to do what you want to do, if you're not interested in serving the Lord, you're going to lose your life. You're going to lose your soul. That's what this verse is telling us. But if you're willing to give your life to the Lord, if you're willing to serve Him, regardless of what happens to you in this life, you have won because God will take your soul and He will keep your soul and you can be with Him. That's what this verse is really saying. So we need to understand that we need to be determined in our life. Throw away the things that are important to us and put in the things that are important to God. Not only that, we must be consistent in our service to God. You know, we have, some of you may remember over the years, maybe some artists in the music world who may have had one hit song and you never heard anything else out of them. And they lived their life on that one hit song. And every time their name would come up, you would have to think, well, they did this way back when and they haven't done anything since. But who really comes to your mind? It's the one who keeps producing the songs, the ones who keeps his name and his picture out in front of the public. And you know who he is because he's constantly doing something in his field. Those are the people that you remember, not the one who just basically done one thing and that's all. We have to be consistent in life. We can't give in. We can't be lazy. We can't lay back. Service to God is not a hit-and-miss arrangement. It is a constant battle every day of our lives. Paul tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 9, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." And now what that verse is telling us, that we can reap, but we can't quit. If we plant corn in the ground, and we don't water the corn, if we don't cultivate the corn, if we don't keep the weeds out of the corn will never grow. We have to be persistent and be determined that we're going to do what we need to be able to get corn at the end of a season. Because if we do nothing, we'll not get corn. And the same thing is true with our Christianity. We can be baptized into Christ. And it's not the way the religious world in general tells us that once you do that, that's all you have to do and it's over with. That's not true. We have to cultivate our Christianity. We have to cultivate our faith. We have to grow as a Christian. We just can't stop in the middle and say, "I've done enough. I've done my part. Let someone else do the rest." If we do that, folks, we've lost. We have absolutely lost. That's why we need determination to be consistent in our service and our work for God. And all of these things is why I'm telling you tonight. You look at the love. You look at the joy. You look at the happiness, you look at the contentment, all of these things that we talked about this morning in the lesson. And all of that looks really good, doesn't it? And it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian because we can have all of these things. But friends, you can't have any of these things unless you have determination as a child of God. So I'm asking you tonight, in closing this lesson, are you determined to be a Christian? Do you have in your life a conviction that will help you take that next step in your Christianity? To be a little stronger, to go a little farther, to see a little closer heaven at the end of the road? Because that's what you have to have if you are going to succeed. You have to have determination. I do hope that everyone in this room is determined to go to heaven. And I do hope that everyone in this room has determination to do what it takes to get there. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, we invite you to give your life to the Lord. Be determined in your heart to walk away from the world, to give your life to the Lord Jesus, to obey the gospel this evening, and to leave here with a determined heart to live for Him each day of your lives. And tonight, my friend, if you as a Christian are sitting here and you're thinking about this wonderful list that we've talked about and the things that you can have as a child of God, and you realize that your life is not in a position to where you can obtain these things, we want to give you an opportunity to change your life, to bring it back into conformity with God's Word. And we give you that time right now. Please come if you need while we stand and sing.